A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at table'? Would you rather not say, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, and later you may eat and drink?' Do you thank the servant for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless servants. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. We have a nifty liturgical Latin saying, lex orandi, lex credendi. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Literally, it means the law of praying, lex orandi, is the law of believing, lex credendi. In other words, what we pray is what we believe. Lex orandi, lex credendi. What we pray is what we believe. But you know, I think this Sunday with this gospel, the church may just have gotten it wrong. Because we just said that we heard the gospel of the Lord, or the good news of the Lord. But is it really? Is it really good news? How is today's gospel good news for which we should give praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ? Our gospel tells us we should call ourselves worthless servants. Worthless servants. Ooh, yeah, that's good news. Worthless. I mean, I don't want to be worthless. I want to be valued, treasured, like the lost sheep or the lost coin or that prodigal son that we heard about just a few weeks ago. No, that was good news. That was gospel. Worthless. Worthless. How is this good news? You know, I even looked at other translations to see if worthless might just be a bad translation of the original Greek. Well, I found that we are useless servants or unprofitable servants. Oh, yeah, that's just so much better. So, all the listeners can be worthless servants. I'll be the useless servant, and maybe somebody else in our parish or community can be the unprofitable servant. So, do we have good news yet? And to make matters worse, the lectionary where I preach, they use the Revised Common Lectionary, which is technically what's on the Word also, which uses the New Revised Standard Version, which translates the word servant, which I used in proclaiming the gospel, it translates servants as slaves. Now, I've seen the Greek word dolos translated both ways, as either servant or slave. But I have to confess, for the proclamation of the gospel, I just had to translate dolos as servants, not slaves, because I really didn't think anyone could really then hear today's gospel as good news if I use the word slaves. Now, partly I have to admit that I'm translating it as servants because when I'm going to preach later on this Sunday, I'm proclaiming today's gospel to some people who are African Americans. And as a white woman preacher, I am not at all comfortable with proclaiming we are worthless slaves to people who have a whole level of nuance and of family history to that word of slave that I don't share, but with which I try and be sensitive to. You know, but also, I am not comfortable with the idea of slavery for anyone, including myself. because we still have slavery in the world that needs to be eradicated. There's the horrible sin of human trafficking, and also the slavery of addiction to alcohol, to drugs, and to other sort of addictions. And for me, using the translation of slaves, it carries with it all sorts of overtones of cruelty and oppression that I just see as contrary to the gospel and to Christianity, because it was the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus that set us free from the shackles of slavery of sin and death. And this part of Luke's gospel, it just seems so out of place with the rest of the gospel, which has universal salvation and forgiveness as its primary themes. And this is what I think the gospel should be. It should be liberating, not putting shackles on us, not even divine shackles. You know, earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah and says that he has come to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the oppressed. So how does this part of Luke's gospel, the use of the word dolos, that could be translated as slaves, how does this make sense with the whole rest of Luke? Well, I wrestled with this for a long time. And then I remembered that Mary used a feminine version of that word, dolos, when she declared to the angel Gabriel that she is the dole, the handmaid of the Lord. And then just a few short verses later, she proclaims the mighty Magnificat, where God fills the hungry, raises up the poor, and topples up the oppressive power structures of the day. So Mary must view being a dole, a servant or a handmaid, not as something oppressive, but as something empowering by God. Because otherwise, how could she in one breath proclaim herself a servant while also being able to sing of God's mighty deeds? And Jesus referred to himself as performing the tasks of a servant when he washed his feet of the disciples. Remember, he did this task willingly, not out of force or coercion. So I really think that servant is a better translation of the Greek. Okay, fine. Now, I really can embrace the idea of being a servant, because certainly we are all called to serve God and one another. But what about that idea of being a worthless servant? Well, I needed to go to a source whose Greek is far better than my own. I went to the Dominican New Testament scholar Barbara Reed, who also happens to be the academic dean at my alma mater, Catholic Theological Union. In her book, Parables for Preachers, she says that the negative, the a, placed before the Greek word, which is translated as worth or profit, would be better translated to state that the servants are in need of nothing. That the servants need nothing because God supplies all. And in the end, that we should declare that we are servants who need nothing and who have done everything we're supposed to do. Here's the liberating part of today's gospel. We are servants of God and of each other who don't need to profit from our service. And this removes any idea of competing with one another. So I, Laura Demick, lay Dominican, only have to do all of what God wants me to do. I don't have to measure myself or compare myself with Mother Teresa or Bishop Desmond Tutu or Martin Luther King or the Master General of the Order or anyone else, because God hasn't given me those tasks to do, but God has given me certain tasks to do, me and me alone. And so in today's gospel, God is asking us to remember that we just need to follow Christ and to serve God single-heartedly and wholeheartedly. And God will supply the grace and strength we need. And maybe that's where we need the real increase in faith, like the apostles asked for. That's the faith to believe in the simplicity and single-mindedness of following Christ and simply serving. This should be our prayer, a constant and recurring prayer. Lord, increase our faith with all our hearts. May we always follow you. Teach us to pray always. Lord, increase our faith. With all our hearts, may we always follow you. Teach us to pray always. Lord, increase our faith. With all our hearts, may we always follow you. Teach us to pray always, always. Lord, increase our faith. With all our hearts, may we